Thank you, Craig. If you would, let's start the message time with a word of prayer. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, what a great day you've given us. Father, we ask that our worship, our praise has been a sweet aroma before your throne. Thank you for the institution of the Lord's Supper, where we can pause and be connected to you in a better way, to be in communion and fellowship with one another, sharing in the blessing of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And Father, right now, we just ask for your blessing as we open your word, as we consider your faithfulness. God, I pray that you would teach us and help us to be people that are loyal and true and reliable. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 reads like this. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and of man. And today we're going to continue our series, Life Reflections, a renewed vision for the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to reflect, we're going to think about faithfulness. Sadly, in our current day, faithfulness is not a virtue held in high regard. Too many people are exhibiting a lack of or a limited amount of faithfulness toward others. But then there are people like Robertson McQuilkin, who embrace and embody the biblical definition of faithfulness. In 1990, McQuilkin decided to resign as president of Columbia Bible College, realizing that he needed to focus his attention on caring for his wife, Muriel. She was suffering from early onset Alzheimer's disease. And I just want you to listen closely to an excerpt from the letter in which he announced to the college constituency his resignation. Here's what he wrote. Recently, it became apparent that Muriel is contented most of the time she is with me and almost none of the time that I am away from her. It is not just discontent. She is filled with fear and even terror at times that she has lost me and always goes in search for me when I leave the house. And so it is very clear to me that she needs me now full time. The decision was made really in a way 42 years ago when I promised to take care of her in sickness and in health till death do us part. But then he wrote, and there's so much more than that. I love Muriel. She is a delight to me. Her childlike dependence and confidence in me, her warm love, those occasional flashes of that wit that I relish so, her happy spirit, her tough resilience in the face of her continual distressing frustration. I don't have to care for her. I get to. It is a high honor to care for so wonderful a person. You see, Mr. McQuilkin is a great inspiration, an example of faithfulness that is motivated by a deep love and commitment to Jesus Christ and to his wife. It's this kind of human loyalty that is compelling and it touches us down deep in our soul. But I would suggest to you today that the ultimate expression and example of faithfulness that should deeply move us even more than a story like that one is seen in God's relationship to his people throughout the ages. No matter what we have done or said, how quickly we may have turned on him or forgotten about him, or how long we have chosen to disobey him, God has remained constant and true and available to us. Here's how the psalmist poetically puts it in Psalm 98. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And I don't know about you, but as I was writing this lesson, it dawned on me that I'm not moved as much as I should be by the faithfulness of our Father. I'm not moved to tears. I'm not moved to reflect. I'm not moved to be grateful enough for how true and reliable and constant that He is in my life. Jesus Christ, the ultimate representation of God's being in human flesh, showed a strikingly unique faithfulness both to the Heavenly Father and to you and I and all of creation by accomplishing redemption for all at the cross. And shortly before the cross, toward the end of His ministry, as Jesus was preparing Himself and His disciples for His death, His burial, His resurrection, His soon-to-be exaltation, and eventually His second coming, Jesus tells a parable. He told many parables, but this one that we're going to zero in on is found in Matthew chapter 25, and it's a parable about the faithfulness of two servants and the unfaithfulness of a third. It's a story that will remind us that our eager anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ in the future should fuel our faithfulness with what He has entrusted to us in the present. And so if you have your Bible app, join me in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. And Jesus is picking up where He left off. Again, He's telling a series of parables, and this is just one of them. Starting in verse 14, Jesus says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey." So I think it's important to note here that this landowner is betrayed by Jesus as very wealthy. He has liquid assets of at least 8 talents, which in today's value system would have been worth somewhere in the ballpark of a few million dollars. So this landowner was wealthy. And Jesus is trying to make a dramatic point here. The point is this: though each servant receives a different level of money, the point is that each one of them is entrusted with a substantial amount. And so don't get caught on one has received 5, one has received 2, and one has received 1. No, the point is that each one of them has been entrusted with a very substantial amount of money. And as we consider this story and its implications on our lives and the life of the church, I would believe that it's important for us to just stop and have a healthy view of this idea of faithfulness. So all that we are, all that we have been naturally endowed with or Holy Spirit bestowed, we must be willing to give it all to the service of the kingdom of God. And it's true that not everyone is born with the same talents and not everyone is given the same gifts of the Spirit, but we are all called by God to actively participate in our own unique ways to the glory of God and to the advancement of the kingdom of God. All of our service is inherently valuable. Whether it receives a greater or lesser return is not the main point. Our main responsibility, our primary responsibility, is to be faithful to what we have been given by sharing ourselves and the love of God. Unfortunately, not all 3 servants in Jesus' story were compelled to be faithful. The 1st and 2nd servants, immediately, Jesus says, they went out and made some type of investments with the money that was given to them, probably setting up some type of business or perhaps making capital returns on the original investment that equaled double what they were given. However, the 3rd servant simply goes out and digs a hole. I can remember as a child having some prized possessions and putting it in a little metal lunchbox, and I thought, what should I do with this to protect it? What did I do? I dug a hole. What a great idea. Go and put it in a hole. That's what he does. He places the master's one talent in a hole. At least he won't lose it there. And perhaps you can already see where this story is going for this third servant. Nowhere good for him. So I want you to listen to verses 19 through 21. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five talents brought in another five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more." And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come in and share in your master's happiness." This identical statement of praise is given again by Jesus to the second servant who did the exact same thing with the two talents that were given to him. And so the first and second servant were praised in identical ways, which indicates that the emphasis of this parable is not on the total amount given or earned. Okay, you with me? It's not on the total amount given or earned, but on faithful participation. Faithful participation. The initial reward of earnings was different, but both servants received identical praise and inheritance. Come in and share with your master. The master blessed both of them for their faithfulness. And then comes the accounting of this third servant, the hole digger, if you will. I want you to listen closely to his report. He says, "Master, I knew," you with me? "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." And the master replies, "You wicked and lazy servant." I don't know if you've ever read this parable and been touched, but as I was preparing, my heart just kind of broke as I read that report of the third servant. My heart was heavy for him, and I thought, I shared that view of the Father. I shared that view of the Master several years ago. I was afraid of him. I had a warped, unhealthy view of the master, thinking he was harsh and hard. And sometimes we convince ourselves that God is this certain way, and then we act out inappropriately based on our erroneous conception of who he is. And so the explicit problem with the third servant was the attitude of his heart about the master. And so I just want to ask us this morning, in light of the coming judgment of God, where we will either be found faithful or lazy, what difference does that make in the way that we live today? Ultimately, I believe faithfulness in general broad terms will be reflected in two main ways throughout our lifetime. Here's the first one. We choose to remain faithful to God. And so when others, like this third servant, settle in on a warped view of God, we will rest assured on the Father's amazing grace and his unfailing love. We will rest assured that our Father is merciful because of what Jesus Christ accomplished at the cross. We will not accept the lie that he is hard, that he is heavy-handed, that he is harsh. Instead, we will receive the truth that is seen in the life of Jesus Christ, that our God is forgiving and merciful and gracious. And we don't shrink back when God's commands aren't politically correct, nor do we treat others with hate or contempt. We are not heavy-handed toward others. We are not hateful. We are not harsh. That's pretty important during this little season we're in. I would beg some of you to temper down on your judgments of other people, because we do not want the Father to do that to us. Our Father has been gracious. He has been merciful. He is not hard. He is not harsh. And we are not either. When others around us are uncommitted, when others around us are unpredictable, as Jesus people, we will choose to be loyal. We will choose to be reliable, because our faithfulness is motivated and led by God's deep commitment to us and all of creation. The other way I believe our faithfulness makes a difference is when we choose to remain faithful to others. The people around us come to know us. They come to know us as people of loyalty and trustworthiness and reliability. They look at us and they say, that person can be counted on. They truly are available to help. They are willing to listen. They can be trusted to serve. And so our commitment of faithfulness leads us to love our neighbors more and more as God has loved us. And so today, what we specifically want to do is we want to spend a few minutes talking about some special neighbors of ours that are of close proximity. We want to stress the significance of investing in the lives of our children and grandchildren. Because our children and our grandchildren need to know, they need to see, they need to experience us as people of reliability. They need to know and they need to feel and they need to see us as people of faithfulness in their lives. They need to see what it looks like, and they need to see why it's imperative that as adults we model this idea of faithfulness. We model this idea of being people of reliability. And the first way we're going to do that this morning is I want you to hear from some of them, all right? So buckle up. We're not sure what's about to happen. But I've asked Nash and Joy and Anna and Hallie and Austin and Braden to come up here and join me. So guys, go ahead and work your way up here. And they're going to share with you some things about children's ministry. You hold that one. Okay. All right, Nash, somehow you ended up with the biggest chair. I'm going to take this chair. So, okay, first, who's the oldest here? How old are you, Braden?
I am 11 years old.
Yeah, hold that. When you're speaking,
11.
We're going to... 11 years old. And so, Nash or Joy, what are you the youngest, Nash? How old are you, Nash?
Six.
Six? Joy, how old are you?
Seven.
Okay, so Nash, you're the youngest up here. Is that pretty cool? It's cool being youngest? But if you're the oldest, Braden, what does it mean for you? What does that mean if you're the oldest?
That I was born first.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. That's good. So we've got that established, church. Okay. So Austin, what grade are you in?
Fifth.
And Hallie, what grade are you in?
Fourth.
Anna?
Third.
Joy?
Second.
Sixth.
First.
Okay, so we got some pretty good representation here of our children's ministry. So let's talk about Bible class. I want you to share with the church family about Bible class. Do you guys go to Bible class?
Yes.
That's good. Do you guys go every week?
Almost.
Almost? So what happens on those weeks when you don't make it?
Usually I have some sort of baseball tournament.
Oh, okay. Baseball. Very good.
Sometimes.
So almost every week. Everybody else comes to Bible class about every week? Yeah? Do you like it? Awesome. I don't know what I would have done if they said no, but okay. So talk to me about your teachers. Talk to me about your teachers. Why are your, Braden, you start since you got a mic down there. Why are your teachers important? What do you like about them?
I like it when usually the teachers have some sort of game to go along with the lesson, and I really like to play games that go along with the lesson.
So. Okay, good. Somebody else, what do you like about your teachers?
That we get to learn.
That you get to learn? Okay.
That they're nice to us.
They're nice to you guys. Good. Anybody else? What do you like about your teachers? What do you learn from them?
I like that Mr. Terry starts off the class with a magic trick.
A magic trick. Oh, very sneaky of you, Terry. That's good. All right. Hallie, what about you?
I think that they teach us in our own special ways.
Okay, very good. Austin?
I like that the teachers are fun and encouraging.
Very good. So Austin and Braden are in my class, so I really like what they said about teachers. That's fantastic. Good job. Okay, so I have an interesting question here because you see some of the folks out here, they've thought about teaching because they taught several years ago, and they've thought, you know what, I'm kind of done with that. I'll let other people teach. But because of you today, they're actually thinking, maybe I should get in there and teach again. They're pretty cute. And so the question I have for you guys is they're a little scared of you. They're a little intimidated by you guys. So should they be scared to teach you guys?
No way.
Why not? What makes you guys so unscary?
I don't bite.
You don't bite. Okay, that's good. Are you guys intimidating, Austin?
Not that I know of.
No. Last time he checked, not intimidating up here. Okay, last question, and I want all of you guys to think about this one. So why do you think it's important for adults to be reliable or trustworthy? Why is that important for you guys, for adults to be trustworthy? Anybody want to start? Go ahead, Braden.
I think they should be reliable because if you're just starting out and you are met with a non-reliable adult and that does not lead you in the right path, then you can never get, sometimes you can never get back right on the right path. Yeah. And then it just goes south from there.
All right. I like that. Very good. Anybody else? Why is it important to you for adults to be trustworthy, for you to be able to trust them? Nothing else? Oh, here's one. Okay.
So the kids know that they're safe and you can count on them.
Very good. I like that, Anna. So that they know that they can be safe and that they can count on you. I think that's a good place to end. Let's thank these guys for sharing with us. Guys, thank you very much. Go back to your seat. Thank you. Well, come on up, Carrie. If that doesn't motivate us to consider teaching in our classes, I don't know what else you can do, Carrie. But
I think I'm just going to sit down.
yeah, exactly. We've asked Carrie Tucker now, one of our shepherds. He's going to tell us a little bit more about opportunities to get plugged in. But during first service, we also have a baby dedication. Yeah. And so walk us through that, Carrie.
We'll do. So faithfulness, being a person of reliability, you know, this can happen in a myriad of ways. But as you can see from these guys up here, there's none more important than investing in the lives of our kids. And so many of you know me as a shepherd or maybe as a representative of the Family Life Committee. But more importantly, I come as a daddy. I have two kids that are in the youth program or in the children's program. One who was up here that was going to be in the youth program soon. And so my purpose in coming before you this morning is we need you. We need you. My humble encouragement to each of you is to seriously consider investing in the lives of our children and teens as people of faithfulness and reliability, both in our children's ministry and in our youth ministry. And so fittingly, as Micah mentioned, we have a baby dedication today. And so I want to do that. I want to celebrate new life. I want to commit to investing in her life. And then I'll have a couple more comments here before we end service. So if you guys would come on up. So family, this is Michaela and Kylie. So Michaela, I believe you've been going here about a year now, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So right around a year. And then you were baptized about 3 or 4 weeks ago,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, sir.
So this is new life in more ways than one, which is really cool. And so, and this is Kylie, who's 7 months old.
Yes.
And so I had the joy of keeping her in the nursery last week, and she is beautiful and she is precious, and I loved keeping her. Isn't that right? Yeah. She's yawning. She's not impressed. That's right. So, Michaela, I want you to know that your shepherds here, we commit to leading you and Kylie in the way of the Lord. And so I want to ask you, do you commit before God and before your church family here to raising her and leading her in the way of the Lord? Awesome. Bless you for that commitment. I know he will. And she is like really interested in getting down, isn't she? So church family, I would like for you to stand up as well. And church family, I want you to pledge your commitment as well to helping this beautiful family. And so if you commit to helping little Kylie here come to know the Lord and to walk faithfully with him by encouraging her, by teaching her, by walking faithfully and humbly in your own life before the Lord. If you do that, I just ask that you would signify that to Michaela and Kylie by saying amen.
Amen.
Bless you for that. Thank you for that. And so just please stand with us as we pray a blessing over this sweet family. Our great Heavenly Father, you are surpassingly wonderful. Father, you provide so many things for us. Father, we are so grateful to be your children. We are so grateful for new life. God, I thank you for the new spiritual life that Michaela has. I thank you for the new physical life that Kylie brings to us. God, I just thank you for bringing them to us. We are so blessed that they are here with us and that they have become a part of the family here. God, I just pray now over Kylie as she grows up. I pray protection over her in every way possible, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. God, put your hand of protection over her. God, I pray for all of us as we commit, including Michaela, to raise her in your ways, God, to know you, to love you, to just be a powerful force in your kingdom. God, I pray for Michaela in her parenting. I pray for wisdom. I pray for patience. I pray for just a teaching, God, of her and her of Kylie in doing this. God, I just thank you for bringing them to us and blessing us with them. And God, may we be a blessing to them as well. God, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. So I want to share with you this morning, just briefly, about the profound wisdom in the African word Ubuntu. This word came up in a small group study just a few weeks ago. And so Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa says this: one of the sayings in our country is Ubuntu, the essence of being human. Ubuntu speaks particularly about the fact that you can't exist as a human being in isolation. It speaks about our interconnectedness. You can't be human all by yourself. And when you have this quality, Ubuntu, you are known for your generosity. And I would add, you're known for your faithfulness and your reliability as well. He goes on to say, we think of ourselves far too frequently, far too frequently as just individuals separated from one another, whereas you are connected and what you would do affects the whole world. When you do well, it spreads out and is for the whole of humanity. And so you may also be familiar with another phrase that's supposed to have African origin. It takes a village to raise a child. And that's true. So you see, our children, they need us. Each and every one of us, they need us. We're not simply providing babysitting when we go back here into the children's halls. We're investing in their lives. And when we do that, it not only spreads out and is for all of humanity, it spreads into all eternity. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ right here and right now, the world is going to teach them not to. And one of the issues facing the church today is the alarming rate at which children and youth are leaving the faith when they leave their church home. And so there's a lot of research going on to try to figure out why this is happening. One of the very early patterns emerging from the data is this: intergenerational relationships. So that's kids having relationships with people their parents' age, people that are younger than their parents, people that are older than their parents, people that are the same age as their grandparents. Intergenerational relationships in the church are very, very important to raising children that have lasting faith. And so are you an empty nester? Maybe you're blessed to have children of your own who have children of their own, and thus you have grandchildren. Here's the reality. We need you too, critically. You provide a wisdom. You provide an experience. You provide another affirming voice to our children, our youth, that they desperately need. And so here's what I'm asking us to do on behalf of our kids. They need you and me. They need us to be all in. They need us to examine our priorities and reprioritize if need be. We especially need you if you haven't volunteered before in the youth and children's ministry. And so it takes a village, and now's the time to step up. And the worst thing that we can do is to assume that someone else is going to take care of it. That has gotten nowhere, anywhere fast. And so today is sort of a reboot of sorts. We want to make a fresh commitment. We, the leadership in the children's and youth ministry, we firmly believe that the Lord is moving and will continue to move in the hearts of our kids and in what happens here in the children's area, in the youth area. And we believe that he is going to continue doing that. He is doing great things. So today's kind of a fresh start, a recommitment, a statement that we're going to fight for our kids and we're going to fight for our youth. And so with that in mind, we have two things happening today. Number one is signups. Out in the gathering area after the class, some of the FLC shepherds and Tara and Kristen are going to be out there, and we have signups. There's different places that help is needed. There's different niches to serve. There's different gifts needed. So you might have heard me say, whenever I said we need help, thinking about teachers. We certainly need teachers. But that's actually maybe half or less of the help that's needed in our ministry. So teaching is obviously one of them. We like to have two people in classrooms. One is a teacher, the other one is a helper. The helper is be present in the classroom. Be an extra set of hands. Be there for safety reasons. Be there to be another voice. I think last time I was a helper, I talked about being afraid of snakes. It's not that hard, you know. So there's another relationship there. We need people to work the check-in desk. When people walk up, you type a name into the computer and say print. We need people to help with coordination of big events, things that are happening in the lives of the children's and youth ministry that are big events. We need help coordinating and working with those things. We need restockers. Can you go to Walmart and buy animal crackers and fill them up in the classrooms? Things like this, busy bags in the back. We need people to clean. Maybe we need the playground cleaned once a month to get it clean and germ-free for the kids. You can do that. Maybe the classroom needs to be cleaned. Maybe you can make decorations. So if we want to update the decor in the classrooms once per quarter, maybe you can do that. That's not me, I'll tell you that. But maybe you can do that. And so we also want to offer what we call a first look. And so maybe you don't want to commit right out on this, but you're thinking, you know, I would be kind of interested in this. If you'll contact Tara or Kristen, Tara Hobbs, Kristen Laboon, or Jonathan Williams, you can go with no strings attached, sit in a classroom or whatever it is that you're interested in doing, and just take a look and see what's going on and say, yeah, this is something I can do or not. And so that's number one that's happening today is signups. Number two, we want to invite you to look at the children's hallway. So you might have noticed it's been closed off. That's because there's been lots of painting going on in there and string, and all kinds of designs and things like that. So Micah and Tara especially have worked tremendously hard on that. So thank you for that. And they did all the coordination and all that. So we want to invite you to go either before class, after class, or after the second service and go look in there and take a tour and see what's been done. And this is phase one. There's more to come of that. And so, but what you see represents quite a bit of work so far. So that's all I have, Micah. Thank you, guys.
Carrie, thank you for those thoughts and leading us in that baby dedication. It's just exciting to remind ourselves about what's happening in our children's and youth ministries and that God is moving and he is faithful. And so remember this as we depart to classes. He is not hard. Our Heavenly Father is not harsh. He has provided a way. His Son, Jesus, has provided a way for us to find redemption and forgiveness, salvation for our souls. But they've also provided a way to be in relationship with them, to be in a faithful, loving relationship. And if you've never said yes to that, if you've never committed your life to Jesus, man, we would love to witness that this morning. We would love to witness your confession, your baptism to the faithful Father. And so if we can minister to you in any way before we head to classes, we want to just take some time to do that. So if you need to respond to the Lord, please do that now. I'll be right down here. We'll have shepherds in the aisle. You can do that during this song. Let's stand and sing. Lord.